I want to preach a sermon this morning I've entitled Satisfaction Guaranteed. We live in a world where everything around us is designed to be appealing to the eye, to the heart, to the lust and the desires of our flesh, especially in our Western world of consumerism. And the scripture tells us that all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of God, but is of the devil. And the thing is, with people, despite all the world's goodies, they know deep down that they still have an unquenchable emptiness in their lives. They know that they have a hunger and thirst in their life, or something's missing in their life. They're not really satisfied. They're trying to fill that God-shaped hole that's in each one of us, and instead of turning to God, they'll turn to anything else but God in order to try, or at least attempt to try, to find satisfaction. We all remember the old Rolling Stones record, "I can't get no satisfaction, but I try, I try, I try." And try as you might to find satisfaction, you won't until you turn to Christ. And the truth is, nothing in this world can bring true fulfillment or true satisfaction. You may get temporary satisfaction. You may get a temporary quenching of thirst. But in the long term, that hunger returns. The dissatisfaction returns and the emptiness returns. And you and I who are saved, we found the true source of satisfaction. But if we're going to remain in that place of knowing God and receiving his love and his grace, we need to make sure that we're not relying on the things of this world to achieve our satisfaction and contentment. Our aim needs to be getting to be closer to God, and so much more in the days in which we live. For the days are growing darker, aren't they? And the light out there is growing dimmer. In these last days, we need to be a people who are close to God, a people of the light who can be a light in a dark world. And our satisfaction is found in Christ alone. He is the source of our satisfaction. In John 6 and 35, it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Yet, people look for satisfaction in the wrong things, don't they? In the book of Isaiah and chapter 55, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." And it tells us here in this scripture that people spend money on that which is not bread, and they labour for that which does not satisfy. We can waste time as Christians spending money on that which is not bread and labouring for that which does not satisfy. We can get distracted. We can get caught up in the affairs of this life. Paul spoke about a brother called Demas, he said, who had forsaken him, having loved this present world. This was a man who was a brother in the Lord. But somewhere along the line, this man got diverted from God and began to look for his satisfaction elsewhere in the world. And it ultimately led him to walking away from the Lord and forsaking his brethren, having loved this present world. He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. True satisfaction can only come through knowing God. And we know that because before you and I got saved, we looked for satisfaction in all kinds of other things, didn't we? For some of us, it was alcohol. For some of us, it was drugs. For some of us, it was money. For some of us it was sex, for some of us it was power and status, or for some of us it was merely hobbies or sports or some other idol. And even the legitimate things like careers or sport or work or business, people try to find satisfaction in all manner of things and find satisfaction in status and power. But we came to a place, thank God, in our lives where we finally realised that actually these things don't really satisfy. These things don't bring true fulfilment. There is something missing from our lives. And it's often spoken, the cliche about us having a God-shaped hole, but there's truth in that, isn't there? And that only God can fill the gap. Only God can fill that hole, because we are spiritual beings. And what we really need is spiritual satisfaction. And the truth is that only Jesus Christ is able to bring that true peace, that true fulfilment, and the righteousness that we need. And we need to know that we are loved and accepted by God. To be known by God and to be forgiven by God and to have a living relationship with God. That is our place of satisfaction. You and I, if we're going to continue to be satisfied in our Christian life, the most important thing beyond anything else is keeping our relationship with God close. Keeping close to God, drawing near to God. Oh, for a closer walk with him, that we would feed off him, that he would be our bread and our water, that he would be that living bread and that living water, that he would quench our spiritual thirst and would satisfy us spiritually. John 4 in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You and I, we need to draw from the living well, and only Jesus can quench our spiritual thirst. And that can only be done by us drawing near to God. We are just dust without him, aren't we? And without his life dwelling in us, we'll never be satisfied. When you and I were born again, we were born again of the Spirit. We had a new life, and that new life that we've been given is that missing part of the jigsaw that made us spiritually alive in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that's why the Bible tells us we are to be close to God. We are to draw near to God. In the book of James 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In John 15, Jesus told us to abide in him, because without him, we can do nothing. Unless we abide in him, we're going to wither and we're going to die on the vine, because he is the vital sap to our life. And we need to remain spiritually alive. And you can't remain spiritually alive by mere religion or doing works to seek that satisfaction. You remain spiritually alive by abiding in Christ himself. We need works produced by faith, and that's what's needed in the believer's life, that when we act upon faith, we're not just doing works for the sake of it, but we're saved by faith in Christ, and all that we do is done through him, for him, and by him. He's the only one who can meet our real spiritual need. You know, one of the biggest problems in the world that most men face or experience is loneliness. Loneliness is that feeling, that knowledge of being alone in the world. And even in a marriage, you can be lonely. You can be lonely in the busiest city on earth. You can feel lonely because there's a sense of knowledge in a man's soul that he needs something beyond himself. He needs God in his life. God is the only one who can satisfy that ultimate loneliness that we experience and turn it into knowledge that we have a loving relationship with God, who is our Heavenly Father. That we're not created to be alone in this world. We're created to know God. We're created to be children of God. God is our Heavenly Father. We have a living relationship with Him. He loves us. He wants relationship with mankind. And He's paid the price with His Son on Calvary so that we can be reconciled with our Creator. So that living relationship can be restored to us with Christ dwelling in us and through us. But if all we have is just a form of religion, just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, that's just religion and it isn't going to satisfy. It's a treadmill and it's actually an emptiness and a bondage. It's just following a set of rules and regulations, and that's called legalism. But we're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit and functioning in the Holy Spirit as believers. And our function in this life is to know God and to have that living relationship with Him. We're called to be alive in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. See, without Him, we're just empty vessels. We're but dust. And yet so many who are believers, and I'm sure we've all been there, can start off in the Spirit, but it's very easy to go back to the old flesh life, isn't it? Very easy to start looking for other things to satisfy us. It's easy to get caught up in circumstances and problems of life and to take our eyes off the only one who is our source of peace and hope and a future. The scripture tells us that no soldier who engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. We're in a warfare. And when you're in a warfare, there's much to distract us, much to divert us. And it's easy to become entangled, isn't it, with the affairs of this life. It's easy to be caught up with the world and all of its distractions. But our focus, and we have to keep this our focus, is Christ Himself. To set our minds upon that which is above, not on that which is beneath. Because only in Christ will we find that true satisfaction. Hebrews 7:18 to 19 says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. You see, this is the difference between Christianity and mere religion. In Christianity, you and I have a better hope, a better covenant that's been introduced so that we can draw near to God. We draw near to God through the blood of Christ. We're able to draw near with boldness, it says, with confidence to the throne of grace. And because of that, we have access to God Himself. We can go through the Holy of Holies because Jesus Christ has made the way for us so that we can have a living relationship with the God who made us. And religion can never bring that. This is why the law was never sufficient. If you could be saved by just observing the law, even God's law, we wouldn't need Christ. If it was just a question of following God's law to the letter. But the truth is, we're not able to follow God's law to the letter, never mind the spirit of the law. Because of that, we needed something beyond God's law, didn't we, to save us? We needed Christ Himself to come and die for us, to declare us righteous through His blood, through His grace, by His power. We've been equipped, we've been given the Holy Spirit so that we can function, not in our own flesh, but in His Spirit. So that we can be all that God desires us to be. So that we can please God. We were not able to please God before because we were unable to fulfill the law of God. We were unable to be righteous of and in ourselves. But through Christ, we've been declared righteous. We've been credited with righteousness. And we've been made righteous. From the minute you and I got saved, God has declared us clean and righteous. He's declared us accepted. And He's now given us the power to live righteously and act righteously through His grace, through His Spirit, through His power. Not of us, lest any man should boast, lest we should try and take credit to ourselves. And because of this, we've got access to God. We can draw near to the living God and have that living relationship with Him. There are things that can hinder our relationship with God. a number of things that can get in the way with our relationship with God. Number one is neglect. You know, if we neglect our salvation, if we neglect to seek God daily, if we neglect to pray, if we neglect to seek Him diligently, you know, think about when before you got saved, you know, we had to seek God to be saved, didn't we, by His grace. And then when we got saved, we were diligently seeking the Lord when we got saved. But the problem with us over time is we can get content. We can lose that fire. We can lose that zeal. We can lose that hunger. We can get lazy. We can begin to neglect the very salvation that should be our prized possession. The pearl of great price. But it should be the most important thing that we possess and value in our life. We're called to earnestly seek the Lord. You know, the one thing that's going to hinder us from our relationship with God is neglect. Because if we don't abide, if we don't pick up the cross daily, follow Christ daily, then eventually you will begin to wither, and eventually you'll begin to decline, and eventually that sap will run dry, your lamp will lose its oil, you'll become like the foolish virgin who'd had no oil in their lamp, and they weren't ready when the Lord returned, because they've allowed that oil to run dry. We can't neglect our salvation. In fact, the Bible warns us, how shall those escape who neglect so great a salvation? Sin can cause us to be separated from our relationship with God. When we fall into sin as Christians, sadly can happen. I'm not saying it should happen, but none of us are without temptation. None of us are perfect. And sometimes, sadly, believers fall into sin. And when we do, it hinders our relationship with God. And the temptation when we fall is, rather than repenting and getting back close to God again, as we begin to withdraw from God, we begin to run away from God. Like Adam in the Garden of Eden, we begin to hide from God. But God knows where we are, doesn't He? God knows what we do. We can try and cover our tracks. We can become isolated from God, alone from God, and that emptiness, that dissatisfaction returns. And we start that path of what really is backsliding. But the scripture tells us that we are to draw near to God. We're to turn from our wicked ways. In Isaiah 55, it tells us, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. So, a couple of things in this. Seek the Lord while He may be found. You know, there is a time coming in the future when God's going to call it a day. Yeah. When judgment time will come. The time for salvation for man is a limited time. But we're called to seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And God is near to people. He tells us that in the book of Acts. He's not far from each one of us. If we'd only reach out for Him. If we'd only seek Him, then we would find Him. So seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That's something we have to choose to do, to call upon God. And God is near, and He may be found if we will call upon Him, if we will seek Him, then we can get close to Him. But there is a condition there in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If you're going to approach God's throne of grace, you need to be willing to repent. You need to be willing to forsake all evil. You need to be willing to say no to ungodliness, to deny unrighteousness and to deny sin, to lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us and every weight that besets us. We're called to pick up the cross. That means dying to self, dying to sin, dying to wickedness, that we can be made clean, that we can stand before God in His grace. In Zechariah 1:3, it says, therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. So here again is another scripture that tells us that if we will return to God, if we've been distant from God because of sin or disobedience, or because we've neglected our salvation, we need to return to the Lord. He says, if we will return to Him, He will return to us. That almost mirrors another scripture in James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But look at the proviso that James gives. He carries on and he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So again, there's a link, isn't there, between being near to God and being repentant. Being near to God and forsaking sin. Being near to God and forsaking evil. Let those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, it tells us, doesn't it? You can't be close to God and be close to evil. You have to choose to turn from your evil ways. In the book of John, it tells us that you can't be of God and be practicing sin. That makes us a liar. That doesn't mean that we're completely sin-free this morning or perfect, but it means that you're not living to practice sin. That when sin is found within you, your right response is that you come to the light and you accept the cleansing blood of Christ and you confess your sin and you forsake your sin. And it says, he who confesses and forsakes his sin will find mercy. Because that's God, isn't it? God is merciful. He wants to save us from our sin. But we can't be close to God without being saved from our sin. We can't be saved from our sin without repentance from sin, without forsaking of sin, without turning from evil. If you want that satisfaction in your life of knowing God, that peace that can only come from him, that hope of in your life that, of knowing God, then we have to turn from sin, don't we? We can't live a double life. We can't be double-minded. We can't love the world and love God. We have to choose one way or the other. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas chose the world. Joshua said, choose for yourselves whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do we obey the flesh or the spirit? It's a daily choice, isn't it? Do we draw near to God daily through his spirit, or do we draw near to the world through our flesh? Who are we going to serve? Hebrews 10:19-22 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So here we see in Hebrews, it tells us there that we can draw near with confidence. We can enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. It says in a new and living way. So this is a new way. This wasn't available in the Old Testament, but it's now available through Christ, a new and living way. And notice he says living, because this is about life. It's not about religion. It's a new and living way he's opened up for us through the curtain. See, only a high priest could go in through the curtain before. God's opened the way for you and I to approach his throne of grace, to enter into that holy of holies. It says through his flesh, and that's because of what he's done on the cross. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So the two things there, we can draw near because of the blood, because of the cross, that God's opened the way, and we have a great high priest, and we can draw near with a true heart. We can't draw near with a hypocritical heart or a double-minded heart, but we need a true heart with full assurance of faith. We can have full confidence, full assurance that our faith that is in Christ is not misplaced. That he's able to give us this way through to God with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. And amen to that. We've been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. This is why we confess our sin, isn't it? So we can be sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And our bodies are washed with the pure water. He's washed us, he's cleansed us, he's made us acceptable so that we can stand before God, it says, in full assurance of faith. We can draw near to God and find that living relationship, that new and living way where we can find true satisfaction. But it's only possible through Christ. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And that's the key, isn't it? It's not enough just to call upon the Lord. There's many people call upon the Lord. But not everybody calls to God in truth, do they? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can only draw near to God, and God is only near to those who call on him through Christ with a true heart, willing to repent. Psalm 73:28 says, but for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Psalm 65:4, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. You see, when we go near to God, when we draw near to God, we can be satisfied with the goodness of his house. God brings us to a place of satisfaction. But we have a part to play in this. And that is that we're willing to let go of sin. We're willing to not to neglect our salvation, but to press in all the more. That we're willing to pray, that we're willing to seek diligently, that we're willing to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith by the blood of Christ, that we're willing to repent, that we're willing to forsake evil, and that we can be near God. But it's a daily thing, isn't it? We're in a battle. There's distractions out there. We also need to learn to forgive others who've wronged us, because that can be a hindrance in our relationship with God. Bitterness can block out that relationship. There's a whole world of vanities and distractions out there, and eye candy to distract us and think that there's other ways to achieve satisfaction. And don't get me wrong, there's things in this world that are legitimate things. Things that we can bring enjoyment to us and temporary satisfaction. You know, when you have a good meal, you're going to feel satisfied for a while. Especially if it's fried deeply. But that's not the kind of satisfaction we're talking about here. Not the true satisfaction of the soul. Let's not be those that labour for the bread that perishes. Let's not waste our time spending money on that which does not satisfy. But let us be those that draw near to God and find true satisfaction in Christ himself. Let's eat that bread of life and drink that living water. That's where satisfaction is, isn't it, this morning? Amen. 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 Let's pray.